Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. It was a miserable Monday in Cleveland. The Cavaliers were swept out of the Eastern Conference Finals in an embarrassing 130-93 loss to the Knicks. New York wins the series and will make their first NBA Finals appearance since dial-up internet. The Western Conference Finals are tied at 2 games apiece. Oklahoma City's going to host San Antonio tonight in Game 5. The Spurs will host the Thunder for Game 6 on Thursday. Across the street from Rocket Arena on Monday in downtown Cleveland, the Guardians were hammered by the Nationals 10-2. Rough day for Tanner Bibee, who gave up 3 runs on a pair of home runs in his first 7 pitches. Guardians still maintain a 3.5-game lead on the White Sox in the AL Central. Cleveland's going to host Washington tonight at 6:10. As for the Reds, Cincinnati and St. Louis were rained out yesterday at Great American Ballpark. Redlegs are at the Mets tonight at 7:10. This update is sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenience store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Barry here.
Oh, Reese came in and he handed me papers.
Yeah.
And then he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me." Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only 2 guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next 3. Scott Docterman, fresh off the trip to Southern California. The Big Ten meeting is going to join us at 9:30. We hit the Real Truth coming up at 10 o'clock. Uncle Dom going to stop by, as is customary on a Tuesday, coming up at 10:30. 11 o'clock will blitz the long holiday weekend. And then 11:15, Greg Sankey has some thoughts on some things down in Destin as SEC meetings are happening down there. And honestly, what we're having is a little bit of he said between him and Tony Petitti. So we'll get to the bottom, or at least attempt to get to the bottom of all of that. It was a pretty good Memorial Day weekend. And I say that because for me at least, the last 8 hours saved it. The weather was pretty hit or miss. It was pretty bad all day Saturday for the most part. Sunday, the majority of the day, NBC and I did sneak out and play 9 in kind of a mist on Sunday afternoon. I got him by 2 shots, but it's a matter of time. Yesterday, though, we had my niece's birthday party around noon. And then we did, me and the 3 boys went and we played, our golf, and, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And as you get to this age that I'm at now, man, I'm 40s, but closer to 50 than I am to 40 at this point. And your kids get a year every year, and this is their last week of school. And like NBC is done with 8th grade. Like he's going to be a high schooler, which is hard. And if you've been listening long enough, you certainly remember when he was born and he was little Shumi is what AR called him. And we used to call him the coach and all of those things. And so it hit me a little bit that like, how many summers do you got left? And it hits you like a ton of bricks when you're a parent, because it feels like it's impossible that you're going to have a high schooler, but indeed I am. And so that, it was me and Beamsy against him and Bootsy, and we played golf and they won. Him and Bootsy beat us and they should have. They deserved to. He played incredibly well and they won. And then we had dinner at the club and it was great. And I was sitting there as the sun was there and I'm like, here's the thing about Ohioans. Because our spring has been so brutal. I wouldn't prescribe this necessarily, but I think that we appreciate the good days so much because there are so few. And so when you get a nice afternoon or you get a nice day and you're able to be outside and have the sun hit your face, pollen and all, it's a win. So it ended up saving the whole weekend. Was kind of late Monday afternoon for me. Guys, I didn't watch much sports this weekend. I paid attention to the Cavs games a little bit, what was worth paying attention to those. We watched them all. They were on. Didn't need to watch much of the one last night, and we'll get to that in just a second. But kind of had a sports-free weekend for the most part, and there were some things out there. Obviously, historic stuff at Indy for Michael Shank Racing. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program as well. But for me, it was a ton of family time this weekend. How'd you guys do this weekend?
Pretty good. Saturday opened up really well weather-wise, so you're able to kind of frolic outside. And I will say this, as much as we lament streamers and how many are becoming necessary in terms of if I want to watch this, I've got to have this. Yeah. And for each sport, for each team, it's a different one. Having the Guardians on MLB, you could watch on your phone. So you didn't have to put your loved ones and friends through Cleveland Guardians baseball. If they weren't interested in it, you could have it on your phone while you were sitting outside. So that worked out really well. I don't want to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they were part of the weekend. But when you're not running around trying to dodge raindrops, it worked. It was really good from every other standpoint, but what happened with the Cavs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saturday down here turned out to be a pretty good day. So
good.
Did a little bit, outside, some things with friends. Sunday kind of dodged the raindrops a little bit, got some grilling out.
Had your big barbecue.
Yeah, a little bit there.
Were you able to dodge it and get it in?
Yeah, we could dodge it a little bit, get it in, got some hot tub time. It wasn't the best pool weather ever, but the hot tub time was definitely there. And then yesterday, I didn't know what to do, not working at all. It was very weird for me. So I did watch some sports, and then I did a little bit around the house that I had been neglecting for a long time. So all in all, a pretty good weekend. But that's a weird day when I don't work or have something to do.
Have something, yeah.
Yeah, like I feel like I waste most of it because I just have no clue what to do.
I'll tell you, my body clock's all screwed up too because it doesn't feel like this should be Memorial Day weekend. Shouldn't have been last weekend to me. It feels like it's too soon. And quite honestly, it feels like this should be the Memorial. I feel like we should be going to Jack's place.
The latter one, yeah, that hits. Well,
it normally is, right?
I know it. I know it. It is so, well, when I first got here, and I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, I'm sure, you know, Sprousey or Dan could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when I first moved here, the Memorial Tournament was Memorial Day weekend. Was it not?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. And then they moved it to this week, and then this year it's next week, but like body clock for me, for the majority of time that I've covered it, and this I think will be my 20th, 19th, something like that. It's been a lot. And it body clock for me, it always feels like, okay, Memorial Day weekend. Usually in the old days, we used to go up to the lake before kids had 1,000 activities. And we would come, I would drive back Monday, and then we'd be at Jack's place all week. And like, that's kind of where I feel like I should be. It feels like we should be at Jack's place Thursday, round one, let's go. It's next week, and I don't know if just the calendar's all off by a week this year or what led to all of it. I think that's what it is. We basically have an extra week. Is that what it is?
I'm not even sure.
It's weird to not be going to Jack's place right now.
And I really wish it was this week.
Me too. And by the way, the weather looks pretty great this week, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Which is ironic, of course. But yeah, like body clock for me, I feel like this should be the Memorial Tournament. You know, have the ceremony and then practice rounds, and then we're playing on Thursday. That's kind of what it feels like. And now we're kind of like in this position where I don't know what to do with my hands. Like we kind of have this week of nothing. There's nothing really out there sports-wise, guys.
Do you want to hear the 10-day?
Give it to me.
So Wednesday, the Pro-Am, I think Rothman and Ice are going to be out there for that. 78, mostly sunny. Thursday, partly cloudy, 81. So that'll be the first round. Next Friday for the second round, 82, partly cloudy. Yeah. Saturday moving day, 82 partly cloudy. Sunday, 82 partly cloudy.
Okay.
I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah, we'll take it. Yeah. Yeah. It just feels like we should be out there this week and you're not. So you got a week before that one takes place and we'll all be out there and do all of our shows out there and have the blast that we have out there. Bake won't be there, sadly, because he's got other activities, other jobs. It's a bad job.
It's a bummer.
It just stinks. It's a bummer, man.
It's a bummer.
It's a total bummer. Total bummer. But yeah, that's body clock for me, what it feels like we should be doing. It feels like we should be going to Jack's place and we should be playing the Memorial Tournament this week, but we'll wait a week and we'll do it next week. In the meantime, you got a classic on the ice last night in and probably what looks to me to be as good of an environment as you're going to have for professional sports in North America, what they're doing in Montreal, that was unbelievable. As soon as this Cavs game was over, which was over in the first quarter, I ended up watching most of that last night. And speaking of the Cavs, this did not go according to plan in any way, shape, or form. We will never know if Central Ohio was going to jump on this bandwagon, because quite honestly, the bandwagon's wheels fell off probably at the end of game one, and they never were able to get repaired. We'll get into that coming up next. We're off and running on a Tuesday edition. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Remember the old days when football used to have an off-season? Well, we at The Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. Ooh. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on The Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV Plus.
Hi, I'm Pat.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, June 11th, and all email submissions must be in by June 1st. Enter today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today, with temperatures getting up into the upper 70s to low 80s, and then chances of showers and storms as we head into the evening and overnight, with our lows down into the 60s. We will see scattered showers and storms on Wednesday, could have some heavy downpours possible. Temperatures will get into the upper 70s to right around 80 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
For me, this, I missed this. I had this wrong. I thought that what happened in game one of this series was not necessarily the end for them. I thought you could rebound. In fact, I came on here and I said, as soon as you win on the other team's home court, that's when you have a problem. And I thought that they could, I thought they were up to the test against this Knicks team. I did. I thought they were up to it. Was dead wrong, clearly. And I remember even saying that the collapse at the end of game one was not similar to the J.R. Smith timeout in the finals against the Warriors. I did not think that those two things were similar, but that was a mistake on my end, because I underestimated how good this Knicks team is. I underestimated how great they are playing currently. I missed it. I wasn't watching all of their series against Atlanta. Wasn't watching their series against Philly. Saw the scores, saw them dominant, saw the roster, thought, okay, that's a nice little team. I did not have any idea that they were a buzzsaw. So that part I got absolutely wrong. Now, the response from Cleveland from that, I also got wrong, because I assumed that they have some guts. I thought that they'd have a little bit of fight. I thought that Donovan Mitchell would say, hop on, let's go. Let me go get some. Let's go get a win. Let's go get 50. Let's go get a win. There was none of that. There was no pushback. Mitchell statistically looked fine. Hell, he had 31 in the game last night, but it was the most irrelevant 31 in the history of the planet. This Cavaliers team is a really good team. They are not a great team in any way, shape, or form. And I do think as the in the final analysis of all of this, and the thing that's going to be really difficult now is they have hitched their wagon at this point in time to James Harden. And there's no real way out of that because he's got a player option for next year. So he's going to be back too. The performance yesterday was quite honestly pretty disgusting from a just watching it perspective, let alone like a diehard like you are, Reese, to not go out there and fight on your home court, to just kind of push the chips in and say, yeah, they were down 29 in the first half. Like what are we doing? That is as gutless a performance in a clinching game as I've ever seen. And they deserve all of the criticism for that. I don't think it's a burn the house down situation because they were one of four teams still playing. And it's really hard to get to an NBA finals. And it takes a lot of things that go your way. But the Harden acquisition is going to be something that you're going to look back on because they sold low on Darius Garland. They sold him at the worst possible time. Worst possible time. And if the return is a 36-year-old player who's never really been good in the postseason and is pretty washed up as it stands right now, then you have really set this thing back in terms of potentially what it could have been. And honestly, I don't know potentially what it could have been. I don't know that this is an NBA championship team or if it was ever going to be one. But this was punched right square in the mouth by a team that is a buzzsaw right now. And that part I got dead wrong. I really thought they'd have a response. They had none, Reese. This is your squad. You watch all the games.
Yeah, back in October, I said the ceiling for this Cavs squad is a 7-game series, make it competitive in the Eastern Conference Finals. So with all of that, this was a disappointment because they couldn't make it competitive when it mattered. And then they just, they no-showed last night. Your season's on the line and you play like that is an indictment on every single player and the coaching staff. The Harden acquisition was desperate because you needed to make a move at the deadline because with everything hanging over Darius Garland, it's not his fault because injuries are just what they are.
Yeah.
And I don't, looking back on it, think it was the wrong move to get James Harden. It was the desperate one, and it's going to, I think, come back and bite Cleveland next season if, in fact, he does pick up that player option. I'm less angry at James Harden than I am at Donovan Mitchell than I am at Kenny Atkinson. Like, if I'm placing blame on this thing, it starts at the top with Atkinson because that gutless, listless performance last night was just kind of a microcosm of in situations where you needed it. You had it sometimes. But a better coach has them needing it, has them having it when you need it all the time. Like the first two series. So round one, they were outcoached. They were kind of outclassed by Toronto, but they're just more talented. So they got by the Raptors. Round two, outclassed, almost outcoached. JB Bickerstaff, eh. But they were out-talented, the Detroit Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
This Eastern Conference Finals series, they're about similar, I think, talent-wise with the New York Knicks. But the Knicks are on a heater. The Knicks play physical. The Knicks, I think, have a better coach than Kenny Atkinson. So that's where it starts for me.
It's Mike Brown.
Yes.
Mike Brown is the coach.
But when you've got Kenny coming out with word salad after game one, geez. That collapse, and then the analytics thing, where analytically they've won 2 of 3 games. No, coach, you're down 0-3.
Yeah.
In a four-game series, in a best-of-7 series, we're not going off vibes here, coach.
No. The one thing one other thing about how the Knicks are, and I don't know if they will be up to the talent challenge of either San Antonio or Oklahoma.
If they're both injured coming out of the Western Conference Finals and the Knicks are healthy.
Yeah. You got a puncher's chance.
Yeah.
But this, they got 3 Villanova guys that all played. I mean, how many games have these guys played together? Brunson, Bridges, Hart.
Three years, maybe.
Well, yeah, but college too.
Sure.
I mean, my God, they know each other front and back. Like, there is an incredible chemistry to them, Bake.
There is, and I think one of the big differences here, and Bo, you talked about that game one loss,
mm-hmm.
and you thought the Cavs could come back. I think the big difference here is there's no doubt Jalen Brunson is an alpha and a dog, and I don't think the Cleveland Cavaliers have an alpha. Donovan Mitchell, and he might have been hurt. We may find out that something's wrong with him. But Donovan Mitchell is a really, really good basketball player. I don't know if he's a follow me to freedom guy. Jalen Brunson is.
Whew.
And
yeah, he is. He is.
It's I'm not saying you're wrong, Reese, with giving Kenny Atkinson a lot of blame here. And some of the stuff he said was just absolutely ridiculous. But Kenny Atkinson is here because you didn't think JB Bickerstaff was good enough to get you over the hump. Now Kenny Atkinson isn't. Maybe this team is just a really good basketball team, but they're not good enough to get there and win it all.
That's kind of where I am. I think that in the final analysis, and I do think you're going to have a different version of this team next year.
You have to.
Yeah, you will. And so I don't know what you can do. I mean, Gilbert's done everything. They're paying second apron tax. They're paying more for this roster than any roster in the NBA. But they didn't get the growth out of Evan Mobley that they thought they were going to get 3 or 4 years ago. They didn't. Darius Garland couldn't stay healthy. And so you make the move for Harden, and that is selling. That's the definition of selling low on Garland. You couldn't sell any lower than they did on Darius Garland. And then Josh Allen is a nice role player, but the key to this whole thing was going to be the belief that Donovan Mitchell was he's a first team all NBA guy. He was third team this year. Like, so you got to play to that standard if you're going to be a championship contender. But like we always say on the show, you're not entitled to championships. You're entitled to what Dan Gilbert has done. And we'll have more on him in about an hour from now. You're entitled to what he's doing. You can't complain as a Cavs fan about his give a damn or what he's willing to spend.
Can't be questioned for a second.
Not for a millisecond. No. I mean, there's a lot of luck that goes into this. There's a lot of things that have to go your way. Like, I don't know if they could, you can't look back. I can't look back on anything they did in terms of the roster and say, well, if you had done this, it would have netted you a championship. There's nothing out there. There's no big miss that I can see that would have netted them that. What this is going to be remembered for, though, I think when people look back on it, and this is why I think Atkinson's going to have to go. We have it, right? This is his comments. This is after game. Is this after game three?
This is after,
is after game three.
Analytically, I think we've won the expected. I said 3 out of 3. We're 2 out of 3. And the expected, if you guys follow that, is that it's an expected score. You know, and we won 2 out of 3. And I know you're looking confused, but I...
No, I'm not.
There is really... You know, if you believe in process and all that, like, man, take that layer. I know I don't throw that on them. I see it for myself. We have this feeling. I have this feeling. Then I can go to our analytical table and be like, man, we are. You know, last night it was, the expected score was like 1.02. Us shooting way below expected, them shooting way over.
Okay, so this is why this is going to be painted negatively, because you're going to be remembered for that, and then now I want to play Charles Barkley at halftime last night.
If you want to, kids at home, if you want to see what the word quit
means, come on, Chuck.
To give up, the verb of that is cavaliers.
Oh, come on.
This is what you see.
You think they quit or the Knicks are just that good right now?
No, they were down 29, Kenny.
So those are the two things that are going to mar an otherwise really nice run. Like, they hadn't gotten to this point since 92 without LeBron James. But the analytics comment from Atkinson and the memory of game 4, it's what's going to leave a sour taste in your mouth all offseason, Reese.
The 22-point collapse in game 1, where when you're Kenny Atkinson and you're seeing Jalen Brunson start to go on a bit of a heater, and you just sit on your hands, you do nothing, you change nothing about what you're doing defensively, about the personnel on the court, because that was, I think, the catalyst for this entire thing. That's what led everybody to just no-show yesterday in Cleveland, was the idea that you had this lead against a team that I think you're equitable talent, but you don't have the effort, you're not going to play ever as physical, because you just don't have the phrase the kids use, you don't have the dog in you, they don't comparatively to this New York Knicks squad. But if you have a better coach that can actually call a timeout, or you look to Donovan Mitchell and you go, you've got to be the alpha in this. And the fact that Kenny's not going to challenge him, or at least it looked like he did not challenge him, is why I'm putting most of the blame on the Cavs head coach and to why this cannot be a similarly coached operation next season.
Reese, I know you said be competitive in the Eastern Conference Finals, but if I remember correctly, looking back at the beginning of the year, most Cavs fans were like, Eastern Conference Finals, you have to get there. Well, they got there, and the way it ends disappointingly like this, I wonder if this Cavs year is going to be similar to the Buckeyes this past year, and the fact that
I think that's good.
But Ohio State was competitive in the playoffs.
You're right, but you still, like, the goalposts, I feel like, moved a little bit because of the way the season went and the way it ended.
And because Boston got hurt. That was the other part of it. Like, everything became gettable. Nobody saw this Knicks thing coming. Not like this. Big Ten had themselves some meetings last week in Southern California. Scott Docterman was there. He'll join us in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends, right here on the Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
Sup, man?
Sup, Jew?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday edition of the program. We head out on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Talk to our good buddy Scott Docterman, national college football writer and reporter at The Athletic. And he joins us there fresh off of a trip to Southern California. Scott, I was curious, when I was seeing that this was the location and all of it, how many of you guys were out there from a media perspective? Ballpark it for me.
Probably about 10 to 12, I guess. Okay. I would say. Yeah, wasn't a lot. I used to go to them when they were at lovely Rosemont, too. And sometimes, depending on the subject matter, if it was an expansion era, like when they added Nebraska, then there might be 40 other years when they're, you know, we're just talking about governance issues. It was probably me and about three other people. So this was a little bit more people out there, I think, this time around.
Scott, this is the Big Ten. Is it fair to say this is the Big Ten answering to what the SEC is doing this week? Because we'll get into this, but like, they're going to be front and center all week long, and the Big Ten kind of got a little bit of ahead of it. From that perspective, do you think that the mission was accomplished the way that Tony Petitti and the conference wanted it to be?
I think for what it can do compared to what goes on in Destin, which is kind of like going to, you know, Disneyland or something. But I do think that it worked out well for them, because I was there 2 years ago at the same location, and they had security, and I was placed in this like lobby area by myself, and they were on the other end of the complex, and there was they scheduled no interviews with anybody there. I mean, they knew I was there. I kept telling them, hey, I need to talk to XYZ PDQ. And mm-hmm. then they're like, well, we'll see what we can do. And I ended up talking to three people, and I'm like, this is the stuff that gets me fired. I mean, coming all the way out to California, and I told them repeatedly this offseason, look, you're going to want to get your message out here, and the SEC is going to get its message out, and has a very gregarious commissioner in Greg Sankey. And so, hopefully those conversations paid off, because I probably had more interviews there than I had certainly planned for. And then Tony Petitti, you know, spoke for about an hour, which he had not done on a consistent basis, especially the last time they had those meetings.
Well, thank you for doing it, because I've been talking about it a long time around here. Like, you got to answer them. This is all being played out in public. Now, my next thing would be, we have a lot of resorts in the Midwest part of the country. Maybe do it somewhere around here so more people can get to it and drive to it. You said Tony spoke for an hour. If you could pick kind of the one thing that was his big driving point, what was it?
It's definitely a 2014 playoff. Mm-hmm. And that is something that the league has rallied around. It's been an interesting conversation, because in talking to coaches and administrators, the one that I would say, I would say they're supportive, but not like enthusiastically so, is probably Ohio State. Mm-hmm. That Ryan Day and Ross, to an extent, but certainly Ryan Day was like, you know, this is what's best for the league and everybody in it. You could argue that it wouldn't be the best for Ohio State, but in for the league and the regular season, this is what's best. So, you know, he kind of said it in a more matter of fact tone, whereas other coaches were, you know, very much in favor of it. And I get it. You know, with Ohio State, if it had been a 12-team playoff through the duration instead of a four, they'd been in it 12 times. If it was 2014, they'd been in it 12 times, most of the time having buys. I think every time they would have had a buy. So, you know, it's understandable from Ohio State's point of view, but then for the league-wide perspective, you know, they were enthusiastically supportive of 24, you know, from Tony Petit on down. I didn't speak to anybody that had a contrary view. The only one that was, again, just a little bit not, you know, both feet are in there, but it's like, yeah, I don't want to get in the water too deep. It was Ohio State.
You know, what's well, and Ryan's listening to his constituency because nobody around here wants 24. I'll tell you that. And it doesn't feel like fans want it either. From the skeptic in me says, look, this is just about found money, right? This is about getting more people at the table to get more games so they can demand a higher price for more games. And I get the television part of it from the SEC perspective as well. Where is it that simple, Scott? Is it just that simple that they're just trying to find money in places because we have an economic model that's failing?
I'll be honest. I don't think it is.
Okay.
I think this is a situation that's different where if the playoff has been pretty exclusive. And when you look at, I think it's the money that schools are investing now and on the side with, you know, whether collectives or NIL money on the side and also internally that the bowl model no longer works, that people aren't excited if you're 9-3 to go to the Outback Bowl or the Citrus Bowl. And it's like after a while you start to lose hope and faith that you even have a chance to, because your fans don't really care anymore. Not the way they used to. It used to be bowl positioning in November. It's like, oh, that's all right. Maybe we go to the Citrus Bowl. Or for really good, maybe, you know, we'll get picked up by the BCS or whatever. Now it's like, yeah, and I'm not going to go. You know, that's pretty much fans. They'll watch it on TV. They have proven that. I think in this case, it's more about the fans like the playoff. They're going to try to give them more in the playoff. And I did a breakdown of a lot of where the teams, and hopefully it's coming out tomorrow. I thought it might have been today, but this all worked out. And when you look at the teams from about 10 to 20 over this time frame, over the CFP period, they're a lot alike. I mean, there are a lot of like 9-3, 10-2 from major conferences, had similar schedules, and you're asking a committee, it's a voluntary committee, to try to parse that out. It's not as hard when you're talking about 1-8, 1-10, but when you start to go from like 10 to 20 or 21, it is almost impossible. So I understand why the 24 model is what they're shooting for. And then when you start to look at on-campus environments in early December, I think, you know, the fans aren't behind it right now, but I think once they see it, that may change.
Well, and I, you know, we talked a lot about this last week with Iowa, which is obviously a program you're very, very familiar with. Like, how many times have Iowa been in a playoff? And then I'll just ask you, like, if they had a home playoff game and they were the 18 seed playing the, I don't even know what the bracket looks like, the 17 with the winner getting to play the one or whatever that's going to be, what would that be like on campus there?
It would be unbelievable. And okay. I think that goes for any team in Iowa's category, which is probably second tier. You have your blue blood slash teams that compete at a high national level each and every year. You know, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, the list goes on and on. And then you have your Iowa's. Wisconsin was there until a few years ago. You know, take your pick out of whoever else. And to have a game the first weekend of December and you're playing Florida or you're playing Texas A&M or you know, even Notre Dame or something like that in Iowa City, that would be unreal. And then you look at, you know, the year that I kind of highlighted as one of those years that kind of stand out would be 2019, when you had Penn State, Iowa, and Minnesota all beat each other. And Iowa had a more difficult schedule and finished 9-3, but they lost those three games by a total of 12 points, two at Wisconsin, a touchdown at Michigan, and 5 points at home to Penn State. Penn State lost at Minnesota. Minnesota got beat at Iowa. And they're all so similar, yet that one was ranked 10th, one was ranked 16th, one was ranked 18th, which means in a 16-team playoff, only one would have gotten in because you have the championships model. And so Iowa would have gotten left out, even though they were really good at the end of the year and they beat USC 49-24. And yes, the offense scored almost all those points. Mm-hmm. And Minnesota was great that year. Finished 11-2, but they wouldn't have gotten in either. And then you look ahead of them, and there are a bunch of teams that are in that 9-3, 10-2 category, and Auburn was 9-3 and all that. So, you look at that, and that's why I think the 24 team gets in. And then you think about a home game for Minnesota or Illinois, which would rarely ever be in that position. And just the excitement, it instantly would be the biggest game in the history of that campus, except for maybe Illinois in 1924. But
which we all remember so well.
Yeah, I mean, Red Green, 6 touchdowns, 400 yards against Michigan. All right, that's number one. Playoff's not going to be that, but playoff might be number 2 or 3 ever. And that's really something that I think, will make this very exciting for people if it happens.
Scott, is Tony Petitti really willing and ready to go to war over 24 with the SEC? Because it feels like they're pretty dug in on not going to 24.
Yeah, I think he's willing to. He's going to have to give up some concessions, and they already have. Originally, they wanted the AQ model, and from 16 to 24. Last December-ish, early January, they gave up completely the AQ model. They just said, okay, we'll give one position to the Group of Six champion or team, and I don't know if it'll go with highest ranked or champion, and then and then the rest are an open field. And he said he hasn't talked about 16. And I get it. I mean, from a public position, why start to negotiate against yourself when that's what you really want? And, the SEC is meeting this week. And if Tony says, well, yeah, we'd be willing to go 16 if this, well, then you're already negotiated yourself down.
Sure.
So yeah. I think in this case, he wants 24 in the worst way. I think he's trying to show the SEC teams, not the Alabamas or teams in that Georgia and the teams of those same category as in Ohio State, but show the teams like Tennessee or mm-hmm. Arkansas or Missouri that, wow, if you had a chance here, if it's 24 teams, you're getting in half the time. And if you're playing at home against a team like that, I mean, imagine, Tennessee playing, flipping the script and playing Ohio State at home. Now, mm-hmm. dare I say that I was at that game and Ohio State's not losing 42-17, but
no, probably not. Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. It's all right. I'll get you out of here on this one. Do you think that he will succeed here in the next mm-hmm. 3 years? Do you think he'll get to 24?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if it'll be next year. I do think it'll happen because the other byproduct of this, and this is where the money talks. Well, I don't think they'll equal right away. I don't know that they'll equal the loss of the championship games totally, mm-hmm. but where they'll equal it out is the byproduct of, I don't know that schools will fire coaches in the middle of the season the way they have been. Now, if they go 2-8, yeah, but like look at Penn State and LSU last year. As soon as they hit loss number 3, James Franklin gone, Brian Kelly gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now 3 losses, you can regather yourself. And Iowa is a perfect example of it this year, where they open up at Michigan, they play Ohio State at home, and then 6 days later they go to Washington. In a 13-day period, their whole entire season could be done in this system right now. Mm-hmm. If it was, but the rest of the schedule, it's manageable for them. It's the old Big Ten West, and they usually play better at the end of the year. So in this system, 0-3. They're done. They're figuring, okay, are we going to Orlando or Tampa this year?
Sure.
In a different playoff system, if they win just the last 6 games, they have a home game. I think other programs will see that, and I think other administrators will say, you know what, we could be a little bit more patient here and save us a little bit of cash, and who knows, maybe we could catch fire, have a better schedule at the end of the year, and see what happens. So I think it eventually will happen. I'm not sure it'll be next year, though.
Great stuff, Scott. Well, I look forward to your piece where you ran the numbers on all of this. It'll drop relatively soon in The Athletic. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you.
All right, there you go. Scott Docterman, National College Football reporter and writer at The Athletic on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. History made over in Indianapolis. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
and is headed to the Memorial. Are you ready for 30 hours of live coverage? Oh, it's true, baby.
Sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling.
Thewaterworks.com.
The best Memorial coverage. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
I did not see the Indianapolis 500. Things were going on. I'd forgotten about it. It was one of those things as a kid that I would always... It was a sporting event that I'd always pay attention to. I'm not going to sit there and watch... I'm not a big racing guy, so I wasn't going to sit there and watch, you know, 500 miles of racing over the course of several hours, but I'd always try to be there for the beginning, love the pomp and circumstance, and try to be there for the end. But it's not lost on me kind of the synergy of what happened here. 40 years ago, Bobby Rahal, with True Sports Racing, Jim Trueman, Columbus guy, wins the Indianapolis 500. Wins it. It's a big damn deal around here. Dom will be on in 40 minutes. I'm pretty sure they had a parade for that win in the Indianapolis 500. Michael Schenck Racing. Michael Schenck is from, he went to Gahanna High School. He won his second Indianapolis 500 40 years after Jim Trueman won one with Bobby Rahal. Felix Rosenquist wins it. Closest Indy 500 in history. The final lap of it is absolutely stupefying when you go rewatch it. This is Michael Schenck Racing's second Indy 500 win. They won in 2021 as well. And then to get another one 40 years after Bobby Rahal and Jim Trueman did it is pretty damn cool. And whether you care about this sport the way that I don't think that you, anyone could argue that the Indianapolis 500, although there are 350,000 people there, it's not the American tradition that it used to be, like a lot of this stuff. But for that town and for the people who love it, that's a drive away, they still go as big as you can go to this thing. And it's probably the biggest auto race thing still in the, it's probably past Daytona, I would say, in terms of attendance, because Daytona doesn't do no 350,000 anymore. They took out the back grandstands at Daytona. So I think it still has endured all of that. That's pretty cool, though. 40 years after Bobby Rahal did it.
So it's the highest purse in Indy 500 history. $4.34 million goes to the winner. I followed it, didn't watch it, because I was interested to see, like, Kurt Cignetti was the pace car, I think. Caitlin Clark might have waved the checkered flag. So it's like the culmination of Indianapolis sports. And I saw that Brother Bone was out there for it. He was, yeah. I think him and his daughter were part of the 350,000. So it's on my bucket list. In terms of a watchability standpoint, it's kind of just the pomp and circumstance in the beginning and then at the end. So when you kind of have it on in the background, or it's like one of those things you can kind of pop in and pop out of.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah was there too, because he used to work in Indianapolis and got That's hooked. Right. So he's over there with his buddies every weekend. It sure, the last lap was crazy what Rosenquist did to win that race. It kind of seems like the Indy 500 has kind of turned into that. Like, NASCAR has been that for a while, where there's just all these wrecks and you just have this sprint to the finish. Now, there haven't been wrecks in the Indy 500 because you can't race like that or your day is done. But it seems like the past couple of them here, the last few years, you've had crazy last lap passes where the winner comes from behind at the very end and gets it done.
I wonder if Tim May went. We were talking to him Friday because it was the first one he was going to miss in like 40 of them.
Yeah, I don't think he did, but he was definitely locked in all weekend.
So no question. I mean, then this is a sweet one for him because, he's been covering Michael Schenck Racing for a long time. So that would have been a sweet one for him. And he was there, obviously, when Bobby won in 86.
So wasn't there the Coca-Cola 600 as well? And all of it was kind of, not overshadows, not necessarily the right word, but the... was it Kyle Busch?
Yeah, the beginning, the tributes.
Passing away before the weekend. It's one of those things where everybody in sport picks up on that because he didn't necessarily transcended the sport, but everybody, even casual fans, knew who he was.
We talked about it on Friday. I mean, I met him, knew him a little bit, just because I had covered Daytona's and the two Daytona races for 6 years. And so I saw him all the time, and he was at a safe driving thing in Tallahassee that I went to and spent about 15 minutes with him. He was doing safe driving for kids. I cannot imagine the cause of death like severe pneumonia to sepsis. Like, it just seems impossible for a 41-year-old man to have that happen the way that it did. It seems crazy to me that it happened the way that it did. But to see his wife, I mean, it was completely shocking, obviously, to see like his wife and 13-year-old son at the track. What Richard Childress is doing, retiring the number 8 until his son is old enough to drive it, is incredibly meaningful. You know, that sport, auto racing is a, like a lot of this stuff, as we, you start to pay attention to, it's a small world. It's not that big, and it feels like it's big, but when you're in it, it really isn't. You see the same people at all the tracks. When you cover it, you see the same reporters, you see the same drivers. They get used to you, you get used to them, and it ends up being a pretty small world. And I remember, obviously, when Dale Sr. died and the first race back at Daytona when he was there, and just the rally that the sport had around that when Junior won. Like, the sport can rally around pretty well, and they kind of all know what they sign up for, but you don't sign up for what happened to Kyle. And yeah, that was certainly a part of the weekend, kind of all weekend long. It was omnipresent, I thought, from an auto racing perspective. So, but congratulations to Michael Shank Racing. 2 Indianapolis 500. Do you think he dared to dream that big growing up around here?
Not a million years thought that would be where he landed.
No, really, really cool. We'll hit the Real Truth in the second hour coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the first time since 99, the New York Knicks will play for the Larry O'Brien Trophy. After a 4-game sweep of the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals, Knicks bombed the Cavs 130-93 last night in Cleveland. They'll await the winner out west. The Spurs and the Thunder are tied at 2 games apiece. OKC will host Game 5 tonight at 8:30. In baseball, the Nationals smashed the Guardians Monday in Cleveland. 10-2 was the final score, but Washington led 6-0 after the second inning. Guardians and Nationals will continue their 3-game series. Game 2's at Progressive tonight at 6:10. As for the Reds, Cincinnati and St. Louis were rained out yesterday. They'll make up Monday's game in mid-August. Cincinnati heads to New York to battle the Mets tonight at 7:10. And in the NHL, John Tortorella can advance Las Vegas to the Stanley Cup Final with a win tonight over Colorado in Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. This update is sponsored by Germain Toyota. For unbeatable service and sales, visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road, or online at germaintoyota.net.
We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a Tuesday edition of the program. Time to hit the Real Truth. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years.
College football decision makers will inform ESPN on December 1st that the 2027 college football playoff will have more than 12 teams. Is that the Real Truth?
No. I think both are way too dug in. We'll get to some of the comments that Sankey has a little bit in the second hour of the program, including the revelation that 16 was Tony Petitti's idea, which the more you think about that, if you listen to our interview with Scott Docterman, and if you missed it, you want to know what really happened out in Southern California, you can do so wherever you get your podcast. We shall put it out on social. He joined us at 9:30. The more you think about that, you think, is Petitti doing this 24 just to get to 16? Is he playing four-dimensional chess here and just trying to get to 16? Because according to Sankey, he's the one that introduced 16 to begin with. So I think they're too far apart on all of this, and I think that the money is way too big of a factor to try to figure out how they're going to make that split work. In fact, guys, I'm dubious that in terms of the way we crown a champion that we're going to see any meaningful changes in the next couple of years. I think it'll be kind of status quo for the next couple of years. And I think in a way, it's kind of like any big problem. Like, there's, as soon as they start fixing one, there's 6 more fires that they got to put out. And instead of extinguishing one fire, They're going to try to extinguish like 12 at once, and nothing tangible is going to get done. Certainly not by December 1st.
I think this is the real truth. I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's any coincidence that all of these people have started coming around on this 12-team playoff. It was Petites on an island, and now all of a sudden, well, we like this, we like this, we like this, and now on three has they polled the SEC athletic directors. Yeah. And it didn't say how many, but it said a majority of them are in favor of more access. What is this word access anyway with all of this? Access and inventory now are like my two most hated words in sports with all of this. Sankey, and we're going to get into some of his comments this weekend. He said, well, we're nowhere near a unanimous vote yet on it. Like, it's going to happen. This thing is going to expand because money talks. And I think it's happening. Like I said, I don't think it's a coincidence that Petiti went from an island to all these people are in lockstep, except for the SEC, but most of their athletic directors want it. I think it's happening.
You think it's going to go to 24?
I do.
By December 1st?
Next year. Not next season.
That would be next year would be a 24-team playoff.
I think so. It's money talks, and that's what this is all about.
It is, but you're also having to. Money does talk, but they have contracts with the conference championship games that are going to have to be torn up, and so you're going to have to go to business with multiple television partners to try to make up that side of it. The SEC doesn't have to do any of that. I would bet. I could be wrong. I certainly was wrong on plenty of things here in the last couple of weeks, but. My guess is that Sankey whips his guys in order this week, and he says, look, boys, the money we're getting from ESPN, we're not tearing that contract up to restart this thing. That's my guess at how this week goes down there, but we'll see. We'll see.
They did go from 4 to 12.
They did.
They did the jump. Ohio State football will win another college football playoff before any other Ohio professional sports team wins their respective championship. Is that the real truth?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think we would, I mean, I was actually thinking about doing this as a segment today with the Cavaliers losing, but then we ended up going to some different directions. But I feel like the professional team in Ohio that's closest to a championship now is the Bengals. They're the team that, to me, looks the closest of all of them. Now, I'm not following the baseball. I have no idea. People say the Guardians have been solid to start this season. Very, very good. But it always feels like when they get to the postseason that they run into a brick wall. So, yeah, I do think this is the real truth. I think Ohio State is going to have a real shot to win a national championship next year. And I think the beauty of Ohio State football is every single year you go into the season and say, yeah, go win the national title. So, yes, I do think it's the real truth that they'll win another one before another Ohio pro team wins one.
I think the safe bet is saying yes, that this is the real truth. Because as you just mentioned, Bo, the Buckeyes are in the conversation for this every year.
Yeah.
Now, we think the Bengals are going to be really, really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that depends on Joe Burrow's health. We think that the Blue Jackets are a piece or two away.
I don't.
From trending towards that discussion, but they're still, a couple years away. They're not doing it next year.
No.
The Cavaliers, I think the Cavaliers might be on the verge of a big blow-up. Now, Dan Gilbert may restructure things so that they still stay competitive, and he'll fit the bill for it. But I think the Cavs probably more than likely need a total roster reset here because the way this team is right now, it's not doing it. And I don't think the Browns are close. I don't think the Reds are close. I don't think the Guardians are close to winning a championship. So, yeah, I think the safe bet is this is the real truth.
And the crew are in transition a little bit, you know. I mean, which one do you think's closest? Ohio pro team.
I think it's the Bengals.
It is.
Yeah, me too.
Because I think they could this year.
Yeah, I do too. I think they're the closest of all of them.
Baker, you put this one in here. I don't really want to read it right now, so I will just give this. John Tortorello will win a Stanley Cup before his career is over?
A second?
Another.
Yeah.
Is that the real truth?
I mean, I feel like they're going to win it this year, don't you?
With Vegas, of all teams.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? So when was he fired by Philly? Was it at the beginning of this year?
Middle of season? I think it was at the end of last season.
Or was it last season when he was fired in Philly? So he was... John Tortorella has become kind of... You're going to have to go old school with me on this, but follow me. He's kind of what Mike Keenan used to be, where you would hire him and he would immediately give you a shot of adrenaline and everybody would kind of get in line and all of that. This is a pretty brilliant move that Vegas did to bring him in. They needed a voice change. They brought him in. They get a jolt from it. And I think they're going to win the cup. They're up, I mean, Colorado is so banged up. Makar finally played the last game, but they got up 3-0 and then lost 5-3. Makar finally played the last game, but McKinnon can only play special situations. So they're just completely banged up. So, yes, I do think they will. It's also not lost to me. I was thinking about this from Nathan McKinnon's – or not Nathan McKinnon, Mitch Marner's perspective. Mitch Marner dealt with the weight of the Toronto media every season that he wasn't good enough. He was a choke artist. He wasn't this. He's now 5 wins from a cup. Like, it was supposed to be him and Matthews in Toronto. Gets out of there, goes to Vegas, immediate success. Like, if you're Austin Matthews watching this, aren't you like, who needs this? I don't need Canadian winter. I don't need 60 people at my press conferences questioning every single thing that I do. Let me go chill in the desert and win cups. Like, I'll go do that. So that's not lost to me. The other thing that's not lost to me is how the Vegas Golden Knights basically started on third base as a franchise. And they've played already in 2 cups, 1-1, and now it feels like they're going to win a second cup. And they've been around for less than a decade? That's a tough pill to swallow. That's a very difficult pill to swallow. But yes, your question, yes, they will.
So Vegas is 19-4-1 now since Torts took over.
Yeah, he's a shot of adrenaline.
McKinnon got hurt in that last game, and that changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
In that game, he tried to play through it, but he wasn't the same after getting dinged up. Just because they're Colorado, I am not... Vegas is going to win this series, but I'm not convinced it's going to be easy the rest of the way. Now, they may win the next game, and they may be sitting and waiting while Carolina and Montreal beat up on each other. I still think... One of these Montreal, I know they're down 2-1 now. There's just something about them that they seem destined here. Yeah. So I can't just put Vegas. I can't say that Torts is definitely winning it this year. And in fact, I think these two East teams might be better. So I'm not there with Torts yet. I also don't know, like, if he doesn't win it this year, is Torts going to stay in Vegas? Does he want to stay there? Is the Vegas lifestyle for him? I mean, he's 67 years old.
Buddy, the Vegas lifestyle is for everybody.
I gotcha.
No state tax. He's not living on the strip, brother. There's incredible developments around there. I don't know if Torts golfs. I don't know what he's into, other than all the incredible stuff he did with AR with the dogs. I don't know. I don't know all of that. AR could speak to that. But that's a pretty desirable place to play.
It is. I'm just not there that he's winning the cup. Another one.
Yeah. Our buddy, I got to come up with a nickname for him. He's basically my ombudsman on the program, the great Jerry Immig, pointing out that Mitch Marner, not only is he being lights out, he's leading the NHL in playoff scoring. After listening to Toronto media say that he was a choke artist, he's leading the NHL in playoff scoring.
It's pretty good.
I hate the Vegas Golden Knights, man.
It's pretty good. He also has a much, much better team now in Vegas than he did in Toronto.
He did, but I mean, those Toronto teams, when those guys were all healthy, they were 108-point teams, 110-point teams in the regular season. Reese, yeah, they're better. But like, just imagine, that's the thing that's bitter to me.
And it's jealousy.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Reese, don't...
They're start on third base.
They got their comeuppance coming, though, I think. They have no draft picks. For like the next 5 years.
If they have a cup, who cares?
Here's what they're always going to...
Bleep them picks.
They're going to get their second cup if they win, and I think that they will. If they'll end up getting their second cup. And here's the thing. guys are always going to want to play there.
That's basically correct.
Become the new LA Kings. It's what the LA Kings used
and
to be.
And much cooler uniforms.
They got great. Yeah, I mean, it's...
They do it right. The NHL got that right. It's a party atmosphere. They win. Yeah. It's easy to go if you're in to watch a game.
And give them credit. They were the first one in Vegas.
Yeah.
They saw it. And now they got a foothold. Good luck, baseball and basketball and everybody else who's going to go there. They got a foothold in it. Say this for ownership. What I think you are entitled to for ownership is for them to be completely invested. You have that with the Cleveland Cavaliers in a way that even I didn't realize until yesterday. We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Beller has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Common Man and Tinny are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today, with temperatures getting up into the upper 70s to low 80s, and then chances of showers and storms as we head into the evening and overnight with our lows down into the 60s. We will see scattered showers and storms on Wednesday. Could have some heavy downpours possible. Temperatures will get into the upper 70s to right around 80 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
And as always, we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for nearly 8 decades, Easton Sawmill. Check them out. They'll take care of you. Speaking of taking care of you, Dan Gilbert takes care of you. I'm not sure what you could ask more from an owner than Dan. So I'm watching the preamble to Game 4, and I'm seeing various celebrities from New York. They're taking the shots, and they're going to their seats. And I see Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner go to their seats and see them sit in the second row. And then I saw them take a shot of Spike Lee, and he was sitting in the second row. And then it started to get out that Dan Gilbert stepped in and said, yeah, as it turns out, you're not going to sit courtside. Not in my barn, you're not. And so he voided sales. And with the ultimatum, of course, and apparently Fat Joe, of all people, exposed all of this and put it out there that Fat Joe had bought courtside tickets for the game. And Gilbert's like, no. And then made, according to him, the Cavs still have not commented about this. I haven't seen anything this morning publicly from the Cavs about this. But apparently the Cavs made their floor seat season ticket holders sign a DocuSign saying that they could not sell their tickets to high-profile Knicks fans, or they would never be able to buy season tickets again. This is what is being alleged.
I don't know.
And good, by the way, if that is.
I was just about to say, I don't know if Cleveland can officially comment about that.
Probably not. By the way, if you're one of those folks, I mean, let's just say, like, Kylie Jenner, pretty bottomless in terms of the amount of cash at her disposal.
Yeah, they're unlimited like, resources for all of those folks. All of those giant Knicks fans.
Like if you could have got $100,000 for your two seats, and Dan Gilbert's telling you if you can, but if you do, you're never going to get season tickets again. As Joe sports fan, I love this. There's the other business side of it. Like I bought my tickets, they're mine. I guess Gilbert's saying, yeah, you have the right to buy them, and I have the right to not sell them to you. Is kind of his response.
There's gotta be some fine print that nobody ever reads the terms and conditions of.
I mean, that's an incredible flex.
But he did all he could. The entire playoff. I mean, since I can remember, he's done all he can for this organization.
For sure. On the ticket thing, though, I was just thinking back to like when I was a kid. Like in my head, and maybe I have this wrong, Nicholson was courtside at the Boston Garden. Wasn't he? Wasn't this like normally
yeah,
that would.
So.
It seemed like it.
I've heard of I want to say when the Blue Jackets played the Penguins, or maybe it was Detroit, maybe both, in those playoff series. Like, you had to have like a 614 area code, or they did something where you had to live within to get the tickets, like, so they couldn't be sold to like Pittsburgh or Detroit fans. The problem with that is there's a lot of Pittsburgh and Detroit fans that live here in Columbus. So it was kind of counterintuitive. But I've heard of places taking measures like that to try to prevent it. But that's, yep, no more season tickets for you.
The best one I can think of is Vegas. A buddy of mine was trying to get Vegas Raiders season tickets. And one of the things that they were worried about was exactly what kind of happened. That in the early years, it was everybody's favorite road trip. So every team would go to Vegas for a road trip, and then they would fill it up, and they wouldn't really have a home field advantage for the Raiders. And when my buddy, he was a Montana guy, and he was going to go down three or four games a year, then sell the rest. And they said, well, yeah, you can do that. But if you sell them to people who aren't Raiders fans, you won't get tickets anymore. So that was kind of his view of it was, and then so he didn't end up doing it because he didn't want to deal with trying to only sell to Raiders fans or whatever the consequences would be on that. I've never seen anything quite like that. Here's something else I'd never seen. Think about this. Taylor Swift sat courtside for game three. Kylie Jenner for Monday night. Is that the most combined social media followings other than like, who could ever top those two on back-to-back nights? Like if somehow Cristiano Ronaldo was at a game? Like who has the most followings on social media? Those two have to be in the top five.
Yeah, if it were The Rock.
In the world.
Maybe The Rock and Messi in the same place. But that would have to be it sporting-wise. I mean, there's nobody's bigger in terms of a single superstar, or at least has been, than Taylor Swift. And at least the Cavs didn't completely quit when she was in attendance. So you have that going for you.
Her trying to wrangle Travis was just, they're just like everybody else. He's shotgunning beers. She's handing him gum.
Someone said on the broadcast, like, that's what she has to look forward to for the wedding party. It's like, yeah, but you sign up for that when you're with Travis Kelce.
So, biggest social media platform, it's Cristiano Ronaldo. 664 million on Instagram is the highest. Yeah, Kylie Jenner sixth. The people ahead of her, Messi, Selena Gomez, The Rock, are the ones ahead of her. Taylor Swift is 14th on Instagram.
So The Rock and Messi, you were right, Reese.
You were right.
That like would some do it. Miami something or other, like a Miami FC or a World Cup match. But that's it. If we're thinking worldwide eyeballs, and those are pretty big events.
They are.
Relative to an Eastern Conference Finals game four.
Yeah.
Games three and four.
I don't know how he did it. I think if you own the tickets, if you own season tickets, and you could pay for your season tickets by selling the game four, and the owner said no, how do you respond to that? And then, by the way, his team put out that performance in a game four.
Yeah, the least
like you're probably having a little seller's remorse.
I guess if you're one of the fans that sat in front, you're probably not thrilled. You're like, I did all of this, and if you're Dan Gilbert, you're probably not thrilled. Which kind of goes to the question that what the real truth that Baker had written in there about Kenny Atkinson being the coach next season. I don't think it's the real truth because I don't think it can be the real truth.
No, probably not. Gilbert is. He talks like a fan. He did this after LeBron left, and he put out that statement that he put out, and we all remember it. Yep. And he put this out last night. We took a step ahead this spring, but we are nowhere near where we need to be. I can't thank the fans enough for the support this year. We will dig in all summer and do everything we possibly can to take the next steps. We will grind until we get there. Congrats to the Knicks, and best luck on the finals. I believe that he believes every word of that. I also think in that sport, it's very difficult. There's a lot you have to manage with from a salary perspective. Like if Dan Gilbert owned the Cleveland Guardians, then I think he would, for 1 year, he would have the Dodgers payroll. He'd go $500 million, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like if he owned the Guardians, I think he would just say, go get them. Go get all the free agents. Overpay them, whatever. Like, what do you need to win? I'll go get all of them. You just can't do that in basketball. And by the way, I think the Haslams would do that in football. If the Haslams are the Guardians, I think they do the same thing. And I think they would go spend whatever is necessary.
For Dan and Jimmy, I think it's more they've empowered their people.
Yeah.
So where you have, you know, Andrew Berry, you have Kobe Altman willing to go and take a big swing, you know, for Altman, like what the James Harden trade was. I think because he felt empowered by Dan Gilbert, who hires, I think, smart basketball people. Now, Kobe Altman's got to do a much better job because you missed on two coaches now. In terms of the roster that you have is talented enough if they are coached right.
I disagree with you, Reese. I don't think that they are. Not to win it. I think this is almost the ceiling with this operation. You watch it closer than I do. So, I mean, we can certainly agree to disagree. To me, they don't feel like when I watch San Antonio and Oklahoma City, I don't think the Cavs can swim in those waters. To me, they don't feel like they can, but we'll see. He's certainly going to throw the money at it. Go ahead, Bick.
By the way, somebody posted this on Twitter, like secondary market tickets. Two courtside seats for Game 3 of the NBA Finals at Madison Square Garden are already listed for $595,000.
Do you want a house or Game 1?
And that's what somebody said. They said you can buy a home in OKC for less than that. And then somebody said they've confirmed there have been two sold for this Knicks game, $279,804. This was Darren Revelle that said that.
Fun coupons, guys. Fun coupons.
Yeah, for guys like Ben Stiller and Fat Joe. Yeah.
All right. Uncle Dom in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tabari.
Sponsored by Green & Sons. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons, located in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville. And online at greenandsons.com.
Buddy, I'm all screwed up body clock-wise. I feel like we should be out at Muirfield.
Yeah, I know.
Weird, right?
Memorial Day happened. What happened?
I know.
Did they move it up or the holiday?
I don't know what happened.
What happened?
It's weird. I feel like
we
should be out there.
What happened? Yeah,
I don't know what to do with my hands. It feels weird that it's not this week.
I know. Well, it's always Memorial Day weekend. But I don't know. The Indy 500's over. I mean, I think Memorial Day's a week earlier this year.
I think it is because it doesn't work out to where next Monday is June 1st, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. So they couldn't have it.
Yeah, next week we're at Muirfield.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it, but it's weird to not be there. You mentioned the Indy 500. The synergy of Michael Schenck Racing winning their second 40 years after Jim Truman and Bobby Rahal won in 86. What do you remember about them winning in 86, kind of the lead up to it, and then the aftermath?
Well, I just remember Bobby Rahal and Jim Truman, they had a garage, and Moose, who was our sports director, we went over and saw them, and they had a, like, right on 270 in Hilliard, they had, like, this little garage, and then, you know, obviously they built the big True Sports place and all that, but I just remember they were like this little mom-and-pop operation, and boom, look at it, what they did and everything, and now, you know, Michael Schenck, that's absolutely amazing, winning two Indy 500s. And, you know, that's, you know, we've had a rich tradition here in Central Ohio when it comes to, you know, the Indy. You know, we used to have races in the street of downtown Columbus. You remember? Yeah. You weren't here for that.
I wasn't, no.
Yeah, that was amazing what we had going here.
And then they had one in Cleveland, too. Didn't they have a race up in Cleveland? Now I think
they had
Ohio still, but I think there was one in Cleveland, too.
Yeah, they had it at the lakefront. Now, that was IndyCar. Before you all start yelling at me, I understand it was not IndyCar in the streets of Columbus. It was sports car racing. But,
okay.
But Jim Trueman was 100% behind that. I remember he drove a car down in front of the prison. Remember, we had old prison down there. Yeah.
Did he, after they won in 86, what was that like here? Like, what was the sense of pride for the city?
Oh,
like,
it was big. How was it treated? Yeah, Bobby had a parade.
That's what I thought.
It was pretty cool. And you're not going to meet a better guy than Bobby Rahal. What a great guy, you know, he is. And you know, his son, I got to know him when he was a little guy. And then, you know, look, you know, he's following in dad's footsteps, so.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, like the Indianapolis 500, 350,000 people over there.
Yeah.
It doesn't rate the way that it used to. It doesn't feel like it's as big a deal as it used to be, unless you're there.
Well, then
feels like the biggest thing ever.
And they did it to themselves. You remember that stupid split?
Cart.
Yeah, it was nuts. Cart. It was nuts what they did, and you had two series. I mean, I remember at one point, Bo, the IndyCar series was bigger than NASCAR.
Oh, significantly, Don.
I mean, it was amazing.
Right. Yeah.
And they just killed their own momentum. Guys couldn't get out of their own way. Tony George was one of the guys, the guy that owned the Indy 500. And they couldn't get out of their way. And it was just, you had these guys that, you know, they were all the smartest guys in the room, and they ruined the sport.
They did. Yeah, I remember doing the track time show with our buddy Tree, Mr. Mike Thompson, all the time. And that was something that we would show kart highlights and IndyCar highlights, and they were like competing. It was just nonsense.
It was absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, why fix something that's not broken?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, greed.
Now, I want to give you my hot take on the Cavs.
Okay. Is it hot? It better be hot. Well, I need it to be nuclear hot.
It's like, I think they did better than most people expected. I'm not down in the dumps. I mean, and I just think it was here's what I think it was. The perfect storm. When they lost the way they lost in game one, they can act like whatever they wanted. That really hurt. And that was one that they couldn't get over. They didn't go. And then the other thing, Bo, they played seven game series, whereas the Knicks didn't have to. And I think they were a tired basketball team that mentally got out of it when they lost that game. This offseason is going to be, how the heck did we lose that game? How did we lose that?
I'm fine with a lot of that. I think the Knicks are just a lot better. I think the Knicks were a lot better.
I think they were
a better team.
Yeah, I think they were the better team, but I don't think the Cavs are that far off.
Oh, I disagree with that.
I don't know.
In comparison to San Antonio and Oklahoma City, I think they are.
Well,
you know, here's the thing, though.
I want LeBron back.
Well, you might get him. Who knows?
I want him back. I think he should come back. I think he should finish it here.
I don't think that's going to put them over the top of anything, though, do you?
Well, I think it'll bring that mental toughness they're missing.
Maybe. Well, it would be him and Harden and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a free agent, so I guess he could sign for a low number and just go play one more year there and do a retirement tour.
I think it certainly
would be interesting.
I'd like to see him in the room because he is... What this guy's career... LeBron is the... He's going to be the guy that everyone compares themselves to. I mean, 20 years.
Yeah.
It's unheard of.
It is. Yeah. And it's interesting for a younger generation. Like my kids have this conversation all the time. Like they believe he's better than Jordan.
Well,
because they never saw Mike, you know?
Yeah.
So they don't have a point of reference on it. So that to them that it would, you and I are a fan of interesting. It would be interesting to have him back there.
But they got, now obviously they got to get, I think they got to get a big man. I think they need a true point guard.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What did you think of Gilbert saying that the folks who have floor tickets, could not sell to the Knicks celebrity fans who went to the game? So I don't know if you saw this. Like Fat Joe, Chalamet, Kylie Jenner, Ben Stiller, all of them, none of them, Spike Lee, none of them sat first row. They tried to, but apparently Gilbert, and the Cavs haven't commented about this, but Fat Joe put this out there, which is a great name for anybody, that Gilbert said, if you are a season ticket holder on the court side and you sell your season tickets, if you do that, you will never be able to buy season tickets with the Cavaliers again.
I like that.
That's something else. But what if you're one of those guys who owns those tickets?
Too bad.
And you could have got what if it's you and you could have got $200,000 for selling your tickets to Spike Lee?
First of all, you've got so much money to be able to buy down there to begin with. That should not even be a concern. Secondly, I like Dan Gilbert in doing that. We're not selling our... You got front row tickets. You're that big of a fan that you can afford to pay a king's ransom to get first row seats, and then you're going to sell them to Fat Joe? And who is Fat Joe anyways? Is Fat Joe?
He's a musician, isn't he?
I don't even know. You don't know. Joe.
I think he's a musician. I think I know
a little
think?
Bit. You don't know. Name I'm one song sure Fat Joe's done.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that.
Fat Joe.
I know who Taylor Swift and Kylie Jenner are.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I think Taylor would be a Cavs fan, so I don't got a problem with that.
Well, she was with Trav on Saturday night courtside up there.
Yeah, I don't got a problem with that.
Can you imagine if you're sitting there and all of a sudden those folks come and sit down next to you? Well, if you're just going to be Joe fan and all of a sudden they sit down next to you? Here's the thing for the audience about Dami. You would end up being friends with him.
Yeah, I'll talk to any of them. Except I don't know who this Fat Joe. I would have said, I don't know you, Joe. But
I don't know you,
why
Joe.
Would you want to go by the name Fat?
Well, I think he's rotund.
Is he? I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, musician.
In today's world, we can't call people fat.
Well, he's calling himself that.
It doesn't matter.
He bought tickets from a Cavs fan, and then the Cavaliers revoked his tickets to Game 4.
Well,
that's what he's alleging.
Well, here's what I would say. In today's world, you cannot go around saying someone's fat.
Well, he's saying he's fat. It's his own name.
No, you don't understand. I think we need to get this guy some help. Put him in a clinic or something.
You want to put him in a clinic?
Yeah, that's what we got to do.
He's comfortable being fat.
You can't say that in today's world. You cannot say that. We can say, you can't say that.
Well, I did, and that's what he goes by. So I think we're all going to be fine.
I think it's terrible. See, this is the world we live in now. Doesn't make any sense, does it?
This is what happens when we should be at Memorial.
I know.
We should be at the Memorial this
week. I'm worrying about a guy named Fat Joe.
Yeah, you're going to have fun with this tonight on the news, this Fat Joe ticket thing.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're going to have a good time with this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I give Dan Gilbert all the credit.
You're going to love this story. Yeah, you're going to love this story.
I love the fact that Dan Gilbert bussed everybody to Detroit. Remember that?
Yeah,
I do. 20 buses?
Yeah, I think he's everything I think he's everything you want an owner to be.
He wants to win.
Yeah, and will stop at no cost to do so.
Well, I like all the ownership up. I'm a fan of Haslam's.
Yeah. Haslam's are great, too.
Because they want to win. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Although, I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, but that's a whole other thing.
Are you... So, I'll see you next week.
Yeah, you're going to be up there every day?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there
all week?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday.
Where are you staying?
Where am I staying?
Uh-huh.
My house.
You're going to drive back and forth?
Yeah, easy.
Why don't you stay with me? You can sleep in the dog's room. You guys kind of bonded when she was became.
I was a dog whisperer. I got her all sorted out for you.
Yeah, when she was experiencing.
Raising a maniac.
Well, she was going through a lot.
You put her on a diaper.
Well, I had to. She was becoming a woman dog.
On that note, I'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Becoming a woman dog. Thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Tuesday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Veteran NBA reporter Mark Stein says the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat are thought to be the two teams Giannis Antetokounmpo is, quote, most intrigued by. Stein adds the Dallas Mavericks are also a possible dark horse suitor. The 31-year-old Antetokounmpo appears increasingly likely to be traded at some point before the draft next month. While he does not have a no-trade clause in his contract, he's entering the final guaranteed year of his deal, so any team trading for him would want to be sure he's willing to commit long-term. Thing or not a thing?
Okay, so the Celtics package would be Jaylen Brown, right? I mean, I think that's what that would be. Yep. What would the Heat package be? Like, what package could they put together that would net them that? It would have to include Adebayo, wouldn't it?
Probably.
And then, I mean, the Miami Heat have not proven to be, like, a team that free agents flock to since LeBron and Bosch did that all those years ago. So I don't know what I think. Boston would make sense for him. I could see why he would be intrigued by that. Absolutely. Why maybe you would want to do that. I also know, and maybe I'm overreacting to this. To me, it's almost like, is there anything any NBA team can do that can put them on the level of Oklahoma City and San Antonio right now? And I'm starting to think that there isn't. That there's not a maneuver any team out there can do. Maybe Boston, but I like the fact that they have Tatum and Brown, and they'd obviously have to get rid of one of them to get Giannis.
So, I wouldn't think if I'm Giannis, I'd want to go to Miami, because I just don't think they've got the pieces right now to help him. They've got Adebayo and Tyler Hero and Andrew Wiggins, but I don't see them being an NBA championship-level team. The Boston thing could make sense, and there was a little bit of Jaylen Brown noise. Maybe he's going to want a bigger contract, and he kind of maybe had some people upset at the end of the year with some of his comments, so that would make sense. I understand the regime is different.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas does not deserve him. After the way Dallas did the Cooper Flag, or the Luka Doncic trade, and then they fall into Cooper Flag, if they get Giannis after that, like, they don't deserve, organizations that do dumb stuff don't deserve something like this. So the Dallas thing cannot happen. Cannot happen.
Be funny if it did, though. It's all part of the Nico Harrison plan, right, Carmelo Anthony? Ferrari just unveiled its first ever all-electric car, the Ferrari Luce. Hopefully I'm saying that right. The car was designed by Johnny Ive, and it comes with a starting price of $640,000. Thing or not a thing?
It's a big thing that I think will fail in the way of new Coke. $640,000 for a Ferrari that is not the one that Ferris Bueller wrecks at the end of the movie, and that one's in the millions, obviously, is patently absurd. I think if you buy a Ferrari, don't you want to hear a Ferrari? And I have an electric car, and I love it. But if I buy a Ferrari, I want to hear it. And you can't hear an electric Ferrari. And then the price point on this is insane. It's $640,000. And plus, it's not even... The other thing that they really dropped the ball on, and this is the thing that Tesla really got right when they did the Model S the first time, they did an electric car that looked badass. Really was a good-looking car. So this is their electric car, and it's like a kind of like a mid-size SUV-looking thing. Compact SUV. Like, it doesn't even look like a Ferrari. So I think this thing is going to be an absolute bomb across all fronts for them.
So I will say this. I think this thing looks more maybe like a sports car than the Mustang looks, which truly looks like an SUV. And I don't think the Mustang has gone over well. The electric Mustang has gone over well. Because as you mentioned, Bo, the people that want to buy those cars are usually big-time gearheads. And they want to hear it. They want the they want to hear the engine. They want to rev it up. They want all of those things. And I just don't see this going over. And I don't know why you would spend $650,000 for that. Like, if you're going to spend money on a car, I think you're going to want something that looks a little better than that. So, yeah, I think they're missing the boat on this.
Go ask, and I love Porsche, but go ask the folks at Porsche. Go look at some of their warehouses in Stuttgart and look at all the electric vehicles that are sitting in there. They can't move them. There's another electric car. Right now, electric cars aren't, nobody wants them right now. I mean, Tesla got rid of the X and the S. There's a manufacturer, Scout, which is making like an SUV that's pretty cool looking. It's one that used to exist in the 60s and 70s. Really cool looking SUV that they're making. They've delayed it another year because there's no demand for them right now, let alone for one that's $640,000 with a prancing horse on the front. No thanks. If you want to buy a Ferrari and you got $640,000 to spend, aren't you buying either a classic one or one of the brand new ones that sounds like a Ferrari? I think you would.
Or two of them?
Yeah, maybe.
They have the video of the unveiling. Lewis Hamilton is one of the two, I think, F1 drivers that are looking at this thing. And so it's at at 971 BFS. I asked, would you spend $64,000 on this car? $640,000 seems just a tad too steep, even if you have the money. The mother of Tennessee Titans quarterback Will Levis opened up about how her and her son dealt with a sex tape that leaked of him and his former girlfriend in 2024. Beth Levis revealed in an interview on the Ross Tucker podcast her son was the target of a hack from a group in Eastern Europe. Quote, Will actually ended up engaging and hiring a cybersecurity specialist and private investigator and spent an exorbitant amount of money on to try to get to the bottom of this and through that to try to escape. It's amazing you can do this. It's crazy these people are even available, but try to scrape what they could to ultimately make it go away. Ultimately, a lot of the content was taken down, but you can never scrape anything entirely from the internet. It's there forever. There's a footprint, unfortunately, end quote. Beth Levis also said the quarterback called her when he realized the tape was leaked and apologized. She said her heart sank hearing that apology. Thing or not a thing?
This just sucks, man. It's a really sad thing. It's just the invasion of privacy like that is just, I just can't imagine it. And good for her for speaking on it and probably trying to make other people aware of it. I can't imagine being a parent in that situation of either Will or and the ex-girlfriend is, she got really famous at the NFL draft and is now like an Instagram star. So it all sucks. It really sucks. It's scary too. Really scary.
So there's so many things I could say about this. Like, not sure what the Eastern Europeans want with Will Levis's sex tape. But the thing here to me is that he called mom to fix the problem. I can't imagine if I had a sex tape there being, mom, I need your help. Come over here quick. We got to get this fixed.
Don't you think he's like, this? You're going to see this?
Yeah.
You need to hear it from me. Is what I, because you don't.
So then she became just imagine, on getting it fixed.
No, I think he tried to get it fixed. I think the thing, just imagine if you're him, like the levels of trying to fix it before it gets to the point. Because the worst person you'd have to tell is your mom. Everybody else you can deal with. But mom would be the worst. So just think about the levels he probably went to try to fix it before having to make the call to mom. Jeez. Crazy.
How does that phone call go?
Broken. Broken mom. For sure. And what about the girl involved? And her folks? Imagine that call having to be made. Good Lord. Brutal. Final hour coming up next. We kick it off by blitzing the long holiday weekend. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. The New York Knicks broke out the brooms on the Cavaliers with a 130-93 win last night in Cleveland in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. New York's on to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1999. They'll await the winner out west. Oklahoma City hosts San Antonio tonight at 8:30 in Game 5 of a series that's tied at 2 games apiece. The NHL's Western Conference Finals has the Golden Knights with a 3-0 lead on the Avalanche. Las Vegas will host Colorado tonight in Game 4 at 8 o'clock. Carolina leads Montreal 2-1 in the East. In baseball Tuesday, the Guardians host the Nationals at 6:10. An hour later in Queens, the Reds battle the New York Mets. In college football, we're 102 days out from Ohio State opening the season Sunday, September 5th against Ball State. Buckeyes open as early 49.5-point favorites over the Cardinals. The SEC's meeting this week in Destin amongst the topics of discussion, the expansion of the college football playoff to as many as 24 teams. Find out what SEC boss Greg Sankey thinks about that in 17 minutes on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour on a Tuesday edition of the program. Time to blitz the long weekend. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present a weekend sports blitz.
Sponsored by Metal Supermarkets. Visit metalsupermarkets.com/Columbus for all your metal needs.
All right, before we get into I Believe I Had That, Tim May is texting that he was apparently clairvoyant Tim on Friday's show, and there's an audio drop that, did he pick a winner? Was it Michael Schenck winner? Did he?
If Tim would just wait, it was going to be in my
Oh, it's coming.
Here. Yeah.
It's coming. Okay, it's coming. All right, very good. Be patient, Tim.
Be patient, Tim May.
I Believe I Had That. What did you have, Reese?
Jalen Brunson said before the series, the Eastern Conference Finals, that felt like he was going to, he had been playing great, that he was going to unlock a superpower against the Cavaliers. His points output was really good, but it was every little thing that he did to push this New York Knicks team into the NBA Finals for the first time since 99.
I believe I had that the hot tub bow is undefeated.
It's pretty good.
Sunday, we had a little cookout, got the food in. It was actually raining about this time. It wasn't raining hard, but it was raining a little bit, and everybody was in the garage chatting. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this time. I'm going to take my drink. Snuck out back for about an hour. Hopped in that hot tub all by my lonesome.
Sure,
put some tunes on, and it was glorious.
We had, it's funny you say this, so I, was it last week somebody was asking us what's the best beer, the best cold beer?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. I'll tell you a really great cold beer. Dead of winter, snowfall, get done coaching a full day of youth basketball, pop a yellow jacket, go into the hot tub as the snow falls. That's an undefeated beer.
Now,
that beer is sweet.
I don't know about the coaching youth basketball part of that, but you pretty much just hit my tickle spot.
That's it. That's about as good as it's going to get. I believe I had it. I believe I had that nobody in the country appreciates good weather like we do. I got basically a six-hour window of pristine weather on Monday night to where we could, Monday late afternoon into Monday night. Well, it was much, really all afternoon, but really that window where I could play golf with the boys. And it made all the rest of the crappy weekend that I had over the weekend completely disappear. You just give me a little window of 70 and sun, and it makes it all go away. In other words, if you lived in San Diego, it'd be every day. I did not have that. What did you not have, Reese?
The Las Vegas Golden Knights, who currently lead 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals. The Colorado Avalanche blew a 3-1 lead over the weekend in Game 3. And John
3-0, Tor- Reese.
3-0 lead.
Yeah.
After the first period, that's what they led by. John Tortorella is going to be coaching for a Stanley Cup in 2026. That's something I don't think anybody, even John Tortorella, had.
I'm going to stay in the hockey world for my, I did not have this as well. Lane Hutson might have been, or might is right now, the best player in this playoff run for the Montreal Canadiens. He's a second-year defenseman. He's got 15 points in these playoffs. He's really been driving things for them. Scored, I believe, their first goal yesterday in the game against Carolina. But then he had maybe one of the worst, most egregious turnovers I have ever seen that led to the game-winning goal in overtime. And he's been playing so well, especially as young of a defenseman as he is, that you just did not see that happening. He was a guy that I actually thought, he's playing so well, he could win this thing for Montreal in this overtime. Mm-hmm. And then he had the turnover that gave the goal up.
I'm rooting for them so big. So big. I did not have, and I mentioned this earlier, I did not have the Cavs not responding at all. I did not have that. I thought that they would fight. I thought that they would show a little bit. It seemed like they were relatively engaged in Game 3. Game 4 was a complete, just push the chips in and we'll see you next. Let's go fishing. That's what Game 4 was, which I didn't have. I thought they had a little bit more pride in that. Not to suggest that they were the better team like James Harden, which is utterly ludicrous. I'm not. But I did think that they would at least make it a little bit of a series as opposed to what happened. Player who impressed, Reese?
Columbus Aviators quarterback Jalen Morton in his first start. He had 309 total yards on offense and four touchdowns. The Aviators came back to beat the Birmingham Stallions 36-29 in week 9. Keeps Birmingham out of the UFL playoffs. And I think puts a bow on a really, I think, successful first season for Columbus, especially with that kind of a win at historic Crew Stadium.
Who needs Clayton Tune?
He might be available next year.
My player who impressed was Tim May. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of his segment on Friday, as we were talking about the Indianapolis 500, and he always goes, hold on a second before I leave. Uh-huh. And he was going through people. I don't have the audio, Reese. Sorry about that. I should have pulled the audio, but I didn't. But right before he left, I believe the last words he said were, and if you keep it right here in town with Meyer Shank Racing, Felix Rosenqvist, I like him. And Rosenqvist won, so good job out of Tim May.
Now, to be fair, Tim always picks the home teams to win, so that, and for Ohio State football, that's worked out quite well. But he always picks the home teams to win, always. So he that, but yes,
it was good the last thing he said.
Last thing he said, he did, and we do have the audio. We'll play it for him before his appearance on Friday. Player who impressed, Mitch Marner, only for this reason: he's leading the NHL in playoff scoring. The weight of not having to play in Toronto is clearly noticeable on him. But the thing that jumped out to me is we were talking about this like 40 minutes ago, and then our old buddy Greg Wyshynski did a story at ESPN about how this is all going down in Toronto. With him having, like, all he was a choke artist in Toronto. Now he's playing as good as anybody in the postseason. So the guy could win the Conn Smythe, for crying out loud, the way this thing's all shaken out. So good for him. And it was cool to see that story from Wyshynski right after we were talking about it. Player who disappointed, Reese.
We'll have more on this in about 10 minutes. But from Brett McMurphy, a majority of SEC athletic directors polled by On3 prefer more teams than Greg Sankey's 16-team college football playoff model. SEC athletic directors, why? I know we're going into this. I just lament that this seems to be groupthink in college football, that more is better. Mm-hmm. And I just want somebody, and it's got to be Greg Sankey, I guess, to hold the line. You don't need to expand this thing. They will. I know.
He's Braveheart for us right now. If we want to keep it smaller, it's all Sankey.
You're hold. Obi-Wan Kenobi are our only hope for this.
That's it.
My player that disappointed is the whole Cleveland Cavaliers basketball team and organization, except for Dan Gilbert. Just no fight. You've got Charles Barkley coming on saying you quit. You're saying you've actually won 2 out of 3 games. James Harden saying you were the better team. Well, actually, no. We play the games, and it says not only did you lose 4 of them, you got spanked in most of them.
Yeah, I went Donovan Mitchell here, and maybe it comes out that he's been banged up.
Tell us what the injury is then.
Yeah.
Let's get a report here, guys.
He just wasn't. I mean, I've seen him play a lot over the last few years, obviously, and seen him in person, you know, a dozen times or so. And the Donovan Mitchell that we saw in this postseason, not just this series, but this postseason, was not the Donovan Mitchell that you, and I don't know if he's either hurt or he kind of got out of the way for Harden at times. I have no idea, but when the franchise needed it, and he had, you know, 31, 28, but they're pretty hollow points, quite honestly. He did not dictate play the way that Jalen Brunson did, not by a damn stretch, and he needed to if they were going to try to get through or at least make it a competitive series. Bud Kilmer, honorary coach of the week. Who do you got, Reese?
I'm going to give it to the coach of the New York Knicks, for Mike Brown. They haven't lost a game since April 23rd. He's got them in the NBA Finals for the first time since 1999. They won the closeout games in the postseason by 51, 30, and 37 points, respectively. They've outscored opponents by 262 points during that winning streak. their 11th straight win in the postseason. The coach gets a lot of credit for this. Coach gets a lot of blame for some of the things when they don't go your way, but Mike Brown's done a hell of a job with this team that's really good and that plays with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing about the way the Cavs went out is they sent Jim Jones out the wrong way. A longtime Cavalier player and a longtime broadcaster, 26-year broadcasting career, started off on the TV side. For the last 16 years, he's been part of the radio broadcast. His final game was that Game 4 loss to the Knicks. And it's really unfortunate that Jim Jones's broadcasting career at least ends that way.
Whole thing sucks.
Yeah, and it's also like you're down 20 the whole game. So it's not even a fun listen.
Just miserable slog.
No, it was. It was just like, okay, fine. They're not going to try. Let's just get to the end. Michael Shank. This is a Columbus dude, man. Gahanna High School. Two-time IndyCar champion. That's awesome. And then to do it 40 years after Bobby Rahal and Jim Truman did it, which is such a magical story. And then, of course, Truman unfortunately passed from, I think it was colon cancer, within a couple of weeks of winning the Indy 500 in 1986. So for him to do that in the 40 years and all of it to get his second one, I mean, who dares to dream that big? Apparently he did, and all his dreams are coming true. All right, coming up next, Greg Sankey. A college football nation that wants a small college football playoff turns its lonely eyes to you, and it appears he's willing to fight. We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ed is headed to the Memorial. Are you ready for 30 hours of live coverage? Oh, it's true, baby.
Sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling.
Thewaterworks.com.
The best Memorial coverage. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today, with temperatures getting up into the upper 70s to low 80s, and then chances of showers and storms as we head into the evening and overnight, with our lows down into the 60s. We will see scattered showers and storms on Wednesday. Could have some heavy downpours possible. Temperatures will get into the upper 70s to right around 80 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hey, fellas, when it comes time to making a big decision like the ring, you don't want to wing it. That's why I trust my friends at Diamond Cellar. For nearly 80 years, their families helped generations of couples celebrate life's biggest moments with exceptional quality, larger diamonds, and better value. And here's the best part. They're going to walk you through it step by step. Your budget, they'll find something that fits it. So you know you're going to get it right every single time with Diamond Cellar. Whether you're ready to propose or ready to upgrade your sparkle, visit Diamond Cellar at Sawmill Road, Easton Townsend, or learn more at DiamondCellar.com. Well, this is just where we are. We are currently in a relationship with Greg Sankey. It's an out-of-marriage relationship. We're carrying on an affair, I guess, is the way that I would describe it. He seems to like what we like, at least on this show, and you in the audience, because we put these polls out all the time, and according to what we're getting back, nobody around here wants a 24-team playoff, and that is what Tony Patini is hell-bent on getting done, unless he's playing an extra layer of chess here, and we'll get to all of that in a second, because Sankey had some comments that were certainly attention getting yesterday. So this is my favorite part of all of this. Sankey said yesterday, as he was holding his press conference in Destin, that his entire league is at. He invites Mr. Feinbaum on, who will join us Thursday at 10:30, as he always does, for a full wrap up of this. That SEC spring meetings have been overhyped. You've allowed for them to become overhyped. You've turned it into the three-ring circus that it is. And you love it because it allows you to be a talking point of the sports world for a week. They will be this week. It's a pretty quiet sports week outside of this. They were the first ones who started doing their media days the week after right after the MLB All-Star Game. All-Star Game would always be on Tuesday. SEC media days would be right after it. Why? Nothing really else going on. So they get all of the conversation. Now, what can he do? What will he decide to do with that platform? Greg Sankey saying yesterday, I do not anticipate any decisions on a college football playoff. Just to make that clear, we can tamp that down. This was the thing that was interesting to me. He was asked about the Big Ten not discussing a 16-team playoff and wanting to go all the way to 24. Sankey said, quote, I was surprised because they brought 16 teams to the table last year. All those 16-team ideas, they weren't ours. We touched on this a little earlier. And Scott Docterman, who was with us at 9:30, and you can listen to that full breakdown of everything that happened at Big Ten meetings out in Southern California, he mentioned this. Is 24 just really a means to get to 16? Is Petitti going 24 just so we can open this thing to 16? This is the first I'd heard that the 16-team playoff did not come from the SEC. I don't think Sankey's lying about this.
Yeah, I think it's a good job out of Tony Petitti. If the goal is 16 and they're pushing 24, well, what sounds better?
Yeah.
What's the better of two options? The one everybody would choose was no expansion, because most of us were like, we're good. Four is fine. You don't need to go to 12. Now that you did, okay, well, how about 16? Look, better than 24? More palatable option. Yeah.
It could be that's the case. I think Tony Petitti wanted expansion, and then I think he realized to get rid of the conference championship games and make up for the money, you couldn't just do 16. So I think he's totally went into the 24 team. I don't remember Petitti ever mentioning 16. I don't ever remember that being a thing. I just know he wanted expansion. He wanted more inventory and access. But I'm guessing whatever he decided, they were also like, well, we got to get rid of conference championship games, and we can't do that monetarily unless we go even more.
So I think at the swanky California retreat they did, he was asked about the 16 teams and told reporters, we haven't had discussions about 16. And then Greg Sankey yesterday to open SEC spring meeting says, well, that was their idea.
Isn't that fascinating? And look, I get it. I saw the On3 report of all, you know, a great majority of the SEC coaches and athletic directors are in favor of 24. Why do you think they are?
More?
Yes.
Easier?
More money. Give us some money, man. Give us some money. Absolutely give us some money. And this will help solve some of this. And Bake, I think you bring up a great point. If you're going to get rid of conference championship games, you have to come up with something to make up that revenue. So that's where the more games come in. Now, what I'm curious about is if a 16 team, because I assumed with the 16 team that would pacify that as well, and we could get rid of conference championship games. I assumed that would be the case. Now, the thing that's going to be tricky is, and I don't know this for sure, but I wonder where... This is the other real hurdle in this. My guess is that ESPN has no interest in getting rid of the SEC title game.
And apparently Greg Sankey doesn't either. And he had only said yesterday, we're under contract for SEC championship games. We're doing SEC championship games. So how that would work in an expanded playoff, I think, is the conversation that I don't know if they're ready to have, right?
Yeah.
Because that December 1st deadline, and when we talked to Ross Bjork last year at Ohio State's training camp, he had mentioned that there were deadlines to ESPN about expansion, about college football, you know, playoff changes that were floating. Yeah. So December 1st doesn't feel like a hard date. Like, it feels very much floating, and that would be at least right 6 months away.
This is the other factor you have to remember in all of this, and it's the media partner factor. So if you're going to get rid of the SEC title game, this is what you're – and think how long ESPN and ABC have wanted the SEC title game. CBS had it at a bargain basement deal for 20 years. ESPN finally got that package. The last two seasons – well, we'll just do last year. Last year, Georgia-Alabama, the SEC title game, did 16.86 million viewers. Okay? The only things that did more than that – were the Ohio State-Michigan game and the Big Ten championship game. And the Big Ten championship game this year was number one against number two. So that's the only thing that outdid it. That's it. So what college football playoff game is going to do 16.86 million viewers in a first round that would take its place for ESPN? None. None.
The drop-off in quality is going to be so significant.
Oh, geez. I mean, there's nothing that's going to replace that. So if you're ESPN and you have this agreement to broadcast the SEC title game, you don't give a damn about wear and tear or anything. You want your 17 million viewers. Last three SEC title games, Georgia Bama 16.86, Georgia Texas 16.63, Alabama Georgia in 2023. The last one on CBS was 17.5. What's replacing that? We had an agreement. You're delivering this. It's delivering ratings. There's no playoff game that's going to net this.
You mean North Texas, Miami won't do those numbers?
No, they won't. They will not.
What about Iowa? They were so close, they deserved it.
Iowa and Vandy, they're going to do it. That's the thing. How do you replace those numbers? So that you have to remember this with Sankey. And I certainly these coaches and these administrators, they want to go to 24 because they want to have more at-bats. They want inventory, all the things that you hate, Bake. They want more and more chances. As Scott Docterman was laying that out, and he had some really good insight, and he covered Iowa, so like when he says with us that would be the biggest game in Iowa or the biggest game in Illinois if they were to ever host one since Red Grange scored six touchdowns against Michigan in 1924, whatever the hell it was. When he says that, then I say, okay, he knows. I can't argue that game would be a massive game on campus. But then when he also says in that same interview that we did that you're talking about Iowa somehow going 0-3 and their season's not over, is that really what any of us want? That are fans of the sport. Like if you lose your first three games, that's probably it in many instances. Go win your rivalry game. Go wreck a season for somebody else, but you should not have a right to play for a national title in football in a 12-team playoff, in a 12-team regular season. That's absurd.
Why is their regular season game against Oregon that could have got them in the playoff as it's currently constructed? Why is that not? Yeah, why does that game not count? Why does that game not matter?
That's my beef. That's your beef. That's most people around here's beef. It seems to be Ryan Day's because Ryan was the only one, as Scott said, who was kind of like, yeah, I'm not sure if we need this at Ohio State. I'll do the right thing because I think, quite honestly, that the league would benefit from this. But I don't know that we need this. So what power does Sankey have to keep this thing at 12, and can he kind of hold off the momentum that seems to be coming from the Big Ten? We'll get into that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The best facial hair on the air. This is Bishop and Friends.
Can Sankey win this? Can he win this fight? It feels like his constituency is slipping. The Big 12 and the ACC are with it on the Big Ten side as well on this. The Big Ten is fully forced behind the 24-team playoff. We know that. They're talking points. They're organized. They're locked in on the 24-team. Can Sankey hold it off? And I think if you're curious about the answer for that, if you want to keep it at 12 or you want it no more than 16, you're going to have to turn your attention squarely to ESPN. And ESPN is probably the one entity in conjunction with Sankey that might be able to slow this. They're the best chance. Now, there's going to have to be some give and take with this in an effort to do so. I do think that the SEC would be fine conducting their own little party. I think they're kind of that myopic that they could do that. And I think most of their constituency would be fine with it if they did that. But their television partners don't want that. ESPN doesn't want that in any way. So I do think it's just going to come down to, can ESPN hold off the advances, if you will, of the Big Ten and their media partners and keep this thing at this number for as long as they can until all of them find more money? Because that's all this is that. And I think they will initially. I'm not with you, Bake. I don't think that you're going to get a playoff expansion on December 1st. I think they'll hold it off. I actually am so pessimistic about all of this that I don't know if we'll see any tangible change at all in the sport in the next couple years. I think we're going to just continue to be complaining about all of this with no real change. Nothing is happening legislatively. Nothing.
We're still doing that.
No, I mean, it's not even on the agenda. It's not even on the agenda. There will be some bipartisan bill that's put, and then it'll die on the vine. It never even gets on the agenda. So nothing's coming from that perspective. So if you want the calendar right, which is something that I think is should be easy, and Ryan Day even spoke about that. We got to get this calendar right. But then I heard Sankey Monday saying, and again, this could all be part of the negotiations, that he's not interested in starting week zero, that he likes starting Labor Day, and that he's kind of dug in on that. So this is all kind of live negotiations that are taking place. But if you're looking for this thing to stay relatively small, you're going to probably need Greg Sankey and ESPN, which are two things that a lot of folks around here aren't crazy about. You're going to need them to kind of do your bidding for you.
Yeah, all of it's uncharted waters, where nobody's gone before you doing college football negotiations publicly like this, to where things that are changing, that are discussed in terms of changes in the sport, changes how college athletics are going to be governed, or how college athletics are going to work over the next 10 years is being negotiated publicly. Like, that's never been something that's been done before. And so a lot of people are trying to figure this out on the fly. And I think for us here, it's a very weird spot to be in, holding to Greg Sankey and the outliers in the Southeastern Conference, to where general college football deciders, they want the sport to go in, or they want college athletics really to go in a certain direction that nobody's comfortable going in. And it's very interesting to see just how these kinds of conversations have evolved, especially amongst, I'm looking at comments from Georgia's president. Mm-hmm. You know, so entities that would never really even offer an opinion into things like this, or where Georgia's President Moorhead says the SEC is not considering a breakaway from the NCAA, but would be, quote, creating some rules that we could all live by in the Southeastern Conference. He adds, quote, if we don't get federal legislation, in my opinion, we're going to have to do this conference by conference because we can't allow the Wild West to continue any longer. He adds, quote, I'm prepared to be ready to vote on creating an SEC mechanism, SEC rules that we have to do if Congress isn't going to act as they should. We just can't continue down this current path. We've waited months after months for Congress to act, and it hasn't occurred yet. This was last week He made these comments.
Yeah.
Again, we laugh when the federal legislation's thrown out there at all, because it's pretty hapless when you expect them to do anything. But the fact that these guys are saying, all right, we're getting so desperate, we'll just do our own rules. And how do you expect those entities saying we're going to do our own rules to ever get together and say, okay, let's all go in one direction?
They won't, because everybody in this whole thing is operating entirely from self-interest. There's nobody who's worried about the good of the sport.
Because with Georgia's president, I go, okay, look to your conference. Look to LSU.
Well, his whole thing, we talked about this last, his whole thing is trying, they know that the playing field has been leveled.
Yeah.
With NIL. Everything they were doing under the table is now done above board. So this is all CYA. It's all any of this is, Bake.
I think I would also tell the Georgia president, hey, let's get your speeding tickets reined in here first.
Jeez.
With your university.
Clean up your own house before
we do any of this. I also, I'm not so sure we're beholden to Greg Sankey as much as we're beholden to ESPN here. Because if anybody can get this done and keep this from expanding, it's ESPN. They're the one with the money. They're the one with the power that could fight this tooth and nail as long as they want. I think it's funny, though, that ESPN doesn't want more people involved when ESPN is farming games out, college football playoff games to TBS. And I think that's interesting in their hold up to this.
I think they see that if they do expand the college football playoff, they can't possibly show any more games because of all of their other obligations. And so if you start to farm more than just first round games out, you start to farm semifinal games out, if you start to farm quarterfinal games out, then who's to say the Big Ten doesn't step in and say, well, we're bringing CBS into this, or NBC's into this.
And that's what the Big Ten wants anyway.
That's exactly,
right?
that's exactly what the Big Ten wants.
Fox
and that's why ESPN's also on this. No, we shouldn't expand just yet, because they're not ready to have that fight.
I I will say this, last week we made some fun and had some fun with the comments that Jamie Pollard, the athletic director at Iowa State, said about, well, we'll just break off from them.
Yeah.
He was kind of right, though, in one thing with the College Sports Commission. We paid a lot of money into this. Why isn't the College Sports Commission, like, taking a lead on this and saying, hey, guys, let's get these rules here and let's... They're non-existent. All of these universities just spent a bunch of money on an entity that does jack squat.
I think the College Sports Commission would be like if you hired a dozen people to go through tax returns and look for fraud for the country. That's what I think the College Sports Commission is. How could you even begin to investigate? How could you even begin to punish? How could you even begin? Just think about how slow all of this crap works. Can you imagine if they tried to, like, hold hearings? Like, you mentioned LSU. Can you imagine if the College Sports Commission went down to Baton Rouge and was like, yeah, we're, you know, you guys got this Raising Cane's money and you paid for this kid to come in on a visit, but that's not true NIL. So, like, who's going to testify? If you're LSU, you don't even let them in the door. All these schools got smart, really, about 15 years ago. They got really smart. Right after us and Penn State said, no, sir, may we have another, we'll self-impose. Miami football, North Carolina basketball, Kansas basketball. That's when the NCAA had teeth. Before those programs said, actually, you don't have subpoena power? I don't think we're going to tell you the truth on anything. Good luck. Good luck proving it. I mean, the FBI had Kansas on tape. What happened to Kansas? They won a national title.
We'll wait on a wiretap. And
we'll wait on a wiretap. He's back at LSU.
Will Wade's recruiting the G League.
Right. What the hell ever happened to Miami football? Nothing.
For a national championship.
Nothing. Nothing. None of it's enforceable. So... Everyone got really wise with it, and they're not. That's why, to me, I thought that, and I, this is a crazy thing to say, but it, to me, that I say this to my wife all the time. Let's not try to fix all of the problems. Let's try to fix one. Can we fix one problem first? Get that solved, and then let's go on to the next problem. And that's where I think we are right now. And I don't think anything tangible is going to come out of these meetings in Destin. I think it's going to be a lot of, they're going to have a lot of attention on them. They will be front and center for all week, but I don't know if anything tangible will happen. One thing that is illuminating to me, though, is, and I think the most newsworthy thing of all of this of the last week has been the Big 10 so publicly talking about 24, and then Greg Sankey Monday saying, well, 16 was their idea. That, to me, is the most interesting thing, because we were led to believe that the 16 was what the SEC wanted. Sankey's out here saying publicly that it's not. That he's fine at 12. He doesn't want to go to 16. And that 16 is the Big Ten's idea. So would the Big Ten be happy with 16? Will others follow in line with that? Does that make the money work? That's the thing that this is all going to come down to, is how do you make the money work for these two conferences? And really, the only way anything tangible is going to come of this is if those two conferences do it together. I mean, this is going to be the great compromise. Either one of them going at it alone ends pretty hollow. Together, they might be able to do something. And right now, they seem about as diametrically opposed in terms of the ideal way to do that as anybody could be. Going to be an interesting week down there. We'll have Paul Feinbaum on Thursday at 10:30 to break it all down. We'll get you three things on a Tuesday coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Morning Juice is now on YouTube. Weekday morning starting at 6.
If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate.
If you're a fan of Jeff Gutoff,
drive directly to a hospital.
Seriously. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The friends are the guests and listeners.
Risa and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, race one on the poll today.
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, would you consider this season a successful one for the Cleveland Cavaliers? 53% say no.
I would go with, I think Bake nailed it. I think it was, but what you're going to remember is the analytics stuff from Atkinson, which was just so absurd. And you're going to remember getting housed in game four on your home court. And it's just going to leave a bitter, awful taste in your mouth. But if you go back, and we all did this, we all said Eastern Conference Finals. That's what we all said. Like, go make the Eastern Conference Finals. They did. They didn't get it to a Game 7. I know Reese, you specifically wanted a Game 7 in Eastern Conference Finals. Okay. So they fell short of that. But I think it probably was a success in that they hadn't been here without LeBron James since 1992. But it's just the way that it ended is what's bitter.
I just think that you had just one game. One game was all I... Five-game series is what I said at the beginning. I thought Knicks would win it in five. And the idea that you felt going into this postseason that the Cavs weren't quite NBA Finals caliber, but they could at least make it competitive in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now with the way that they went out, you can't look at this roster or really you can't look at this team and say, yeah, you can just bring it all back and try again. Not with the way they flamed out like that. You cannot run it back the same as you could if you had made a run in the Eastern Conference Finals. You made this a 6 or 7 game series, then you'd feel fine about saying, all right, run it back. We'll try it again next season. Now, there's no way you could say run it back.
And I think your point about running it back is good. Like this team and its configuration has had a couple cracks at this now. And then to just lose the way you did here... Yep. There may need to be some changes that need to happen. Yeah. I do think this is a successful season for the Cavs because I do believe at the beginning of the year, the way it ends, it's really tough for you. And I feel like I brought up the comparison earlier with this Ohio State football team before the year with all of the people that you lost. What would it be? Freshman quarterback, all of those things. But then you get to where you do in the season and you're undefeated through the Michigan game. You lose in the Big Ten championship. Then you lose to Miami in the playoff. It's like, well, man, what a bitter taste in our mouth. And then you see, well, these guys got drafted high. This might be one of the biggest regrets ever from Ohio State football. When you, at the beginning of the year, you would have took what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Time for three things on a Tuesday.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. So, rainy, it was rainy Sunday night, and NBC had his lady friend over, so they were watching a movie upstairs. And so the blonde and the two littles and I wanted to watch a movie downstairs. And so they were looking to something to watch, and they do this thing where they want to watch the same movies over and over again, like the same like 10 movies. And I'm like, let's watch something we haven't seen. So I said, let's watch Independence Day. Now, I have not seen Independence Day in 25 years, I would say. It used to be on cable all the time after TNT, after games. I haven't seen it in 25 years. I'm like, this is great. Well, let me tell you something. Independence Day did not take at all for the two littles. I routinely had to say, just sit down and watch. It gets better. And then I had forgotten, like, there are some long lulls in action on that movie before you get to, like, the kind of finishing flurry of 20 minutes that are pretty good. It's actually 2 hours and well over 2 hours. I think it's like 2:30, 2:20. This is a long movie, too. How I remembered it was, they will love it. This is going to take in a big way. Did not land the plane at all.
First thing for me, I saw this at footballscoop.com. They do a great job of covering everything football and really college athletics. But the headline yesterday has only one Power Four school didn't make the postseason in any major sport in 25-26. Of course, with the NCAA College World Series field being announced, Rutgers is the only school not to have a representative in the postseason of football, volleyball, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, or softball.
It's the worst athletic department in Power Four, always has been. And the Big Ten thought they could save it by giving them a bunch of money, and it didn't do any of that. That one I had. I believe I had that
one. You
did.
Their sports are a collective 31-90 in Big Ten play.
Oof. Yeah, it was misguided, misjudged from Jump Street.
Earlier we were talking about the Memorial and it being later this week and or this year and Memorial Day. This year, Memorial Day is the earliest it can be, Bo. Memorial Day is either May 25th through the 31st. It's any one of those days as it's the last Monday of the month of May. So this year, Memorial Day early, that's why everything is jumbled up.
I'm not ready. It just feels weird. It just does. I can't believe it's over and that we're not at the memorial. The whole thing. I just can't get my body clock right with it. Speaking of can't get their bodies right, Buddy Garrity can't get his body right either. Got a report from the Blonde this morning on his walk that about halfway through, which amounts to about a mile walk, which he usually does morning and night with me pretty easily. That the heat this morning got to him, and about halfway through, he just went over to our neighbors and just laid in the grass. Oh, jeez. It got hot quick for Buddy Garrity. We got to get that, got to thin out that coat a little bit on the Golden Boy. He's still panting.
Yeah, it's that time of the year where there's not enough brushing in the world you can do. You almost just take the hose to him every day.
Just
to see what you can get, just to make him a little bit more comfortable. But yeah, with some of those dogs, there's just so much hair. It's almost nothing you can do but shave them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the most humane thing to do with some of those puppers. I saw this about a Victor Wembanyama rookie card just sold for $5.1 million over the weekend. It's a PSA 10, but it doesn't have his autograph. It is the third sports card to cross the $5 million threshold this year, but it's the highest ever for a card that does not include the player's autograph.
Wow.
Which, if you're not getting it autoed, you're paying that much? Maybe, I guess, if you get him to sign it, the case, does that matter?
At $5 million, you've already probably won.
The state softball tournament is fastly approaching. So this weekend, while I had some time, I started looking into some of the teams in Division III, because that's the division I'm going to call this year. And while I was doing some of my research, I came across the Lakewood softball team, and they're a very good softball team. But I saw that they're in Division I this year, and I thought, well, that's really weird. They've been a smaller school. Well, they chose to move up and play Division I this year. They're normally Division IV, but they said, we know all these teams and they know us. We're going to go play some teams that don't know us. So Lakewood, who should be Division IV, playing Division I. Unfortunately for you, Reese, they beat your Upper Arlington Golden Bears this week to win the district. They're playing in a regional semifinal tomorrow against Lancaster. In a sports world where we're always trying to get out of playing better competition, good on them.
I know this is all normal for you guys. I'll just make this my third. Everything you just said, Bake, is how crazy the OHSAA sounds to me. So a team from the Lake in Cleveland that is a Division III team.
No, the Lake out like Buckeye Lake area.
Oh, I thought you said Lakewood.
It is Lakewood, but it's not St. Ed's.
Oh. It's a different Lakewood.
So I thought it was like Lakewood, the town on the lake up in Cleveland, went from Division III to Division I, and they're playing in a... No. Something here, like, what the hell is going on?
This is the proud home of Bodie Wells.
Different. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, then that's fine. I do think it's crazy, though, that you're just not in the division with your enrollment. And you're not in the same districts as or conferences as teams around you, that all of that moves.
It does sound like from SEC meetings that coaches in the Southeastern Conference are just like us and, like, tired of all this nonsense. Because Clark Lee just says, just make it a number. Make it make sense. Quote, I don't have a specific number. But he does that. An expanded playoff would be great.
It's like me with my kids. Just make it make sense.
Big show for Rothman and Ice coming up next. Tyvus at 12:30. Bobby Carpenter at 2. And sometime Adam King's joining them. They're not sure when, though.
Why would they be? We'll get to all of that. You have that to look forward to, which is nice. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921.
They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!